morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Aisha Ashraf.
And I'm Dana Masamra. Here are some of the stories we're following for you this morning from the On the Record newsroom. A vigil was held yesterday to honor the 98 journalists killed in Palestine, Lebanon, and Israel over the last 4 months. The vigil happened at Toronto Metropolitan University and was titled Journalists for Journalists. It was organized by a group of journalists and professors. With more on the event, here's Erica Wedgbury.
On Thursday, February 1st, a vigil was held at TMU in honor of all of the journalists who have been killed in Gaza, Israel, and Lebanon.
I want to thank everyone for taking the time to be here tonight to mourn, to remember, and to reaffirm our commitment to our craft.
The vigil featured speeches from event organizers Janelle Amasa, Pasint Matar, Inori Roy, and Fatima Saeed, in which they highlighted the tragic events taking place in the Middle East and the journalists who lost their lives as a result. The vigil also paid respect to the writers and poets who have been killed. A poem written by Nur al-Din Hajjaj, a poet who was killed by an Israeli airstrike, was read out by journalist Josh Block, in which Nur describes what he suspects would be his last message to the world.
Anyway, I'll begin. My name is Nur al-Din Hajjaj. I'm a Palestinian writer. I'm 27 years old, and I have many dreams. I am not a number, and I do not consent to my death being passing news.
The event concluded with a moment of silence, 1 second for every journalist killed. At this time, those in attendance were invited to pay their respects in front of a banner that featured the names of all 98 journalists who lost their lives. Journalists and journalism students from all over the world gathered at the event.
A friend of mine invited me, and I think it's really important to show, you know, that journalists, no matter whether it's in Canada or anywhere around the world, we stand in solidarity for what's going on right now.
Despite the event's success, some felt as though the vigil should have been held sooner.
We're 4 months after this war started, and within the last 2 months, it became really clear that this was one of the deadliest conflicts for journalists. And we were watching and waiting for some institutional organization or group to take the lead on an event like this. And when it didn't happen, we felt the need to do it ourselves.
I was very disappointed and I was hesitant to come, especially because it's been 4 months and the School of Journalism is speaking now and doing something now. I think it's 4 months too late, but this is the start and this is the bare minimum. And although I have problems with the way that they presented the event, I am glad I came, and I think they did a good job for what it is and for what they can.
That was On the Record's Erica Wedgbury reporting. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, a Calgary journalist named Mansour Shuman has gone missing in Gaza while working as a citizen reporter and aid worker. Government officials in Ottawa are closely monitoring the situation as friends and family express growing concern over his welfare. The father of five went missing on January 21st, with witnesses claiming he was taken into custody by the Israeli Defense Forces. Shuman's supporters started a petition on Saturday calling on the Israeli government to release him. As of this Friday afternoon, 185,000 signatures have been collected.
Closer to home now, Toronto Mayor Olivia Chow's executive committee has voted in favor of a new municipal tax on foreign home buyers. The decision, which took place Tuesday, is meant to protect Toronto's housing supply and deal with the city's affordability crisis. The proposed tax would result in foreign nationals having to pay an additional 10% on the purchase of new residential properties that they don't plan to live in. If passed by the council next month, the tax would take effect in January 2025.
The Canadian government is allocating an additional $40 million to organizations aiding the people of the Gaza Strip. This decision follows a pause in funding to the UN's Relief Agency for Palestinians due to allegations of staff involvement in the Hamas attack on October 7th. The additional funding coincides with Ottawa's rejection of what is described as inflammatory rhetoric from Israeli government officials regarding the forced displacement of residents in the besieged region. The majority of the new funding will support organizations such as the World Food Program and UNICEF.
Toronto police are warning of an ongoing taxi scam. The scammers are tricking victims into thinking their taxi doesn't take cash to convince them to help out with their credit cards, which are then skimmed or swapped. Since June 2023, over 60 scams have been reported to police, resulting in over $40,000 in losses. Police are urging individuals not to make payments for strangers in exchange for cash and to be wary of their credit card transactions.
Following the January 10th budget launch, Toronto school boards are calling for a more youth-friendly city budget. With more on their concerns, here's Talia Saley.
The Toronto Youth Cabinet and school boards released a youth-friendly city budget proposal in response to the city's budget launch on January 10th. The budget plan was made for Torontonians but failed to represent young people, said Stephen Munsaw, the executive director of Toronto Youth Cabinet and current TMU student. The Toronto Youth Cabinet is the City Council's official youth-run organization that advocates for youth involvement in policymaking. The joint statement with TDSB and TCDSB released last Thursday called for funding in more youth hubs, violence prevention grants, employment initiatives, nutrition programs, and after-school programming. Job employment is essential for youth to promise a bright future for career and economic security, said Munsaw. Young people are not carjacking for enjoyment, but out of necessity, as they come face to face with poverty, he continued. Rachel Chernoslin, chair of TDSB, said the funding can be used towards breakfast and lunch programs, including pantries to allow students to take food to their homes. Munsaw says young people have been actively advocating before and during the budget season, but the municipal government has failed to acknowledge their voices. For On the Record News, I'm Talia Saley.
Power has been restored in much of downtown Toronto. Toronto Fire responded to many elevator rescues after an outage left thousands without electricity in the downtown core last night. Hydro One says a raccoon made contact with equipment at a downtown station when it knocked out power for almost 7,000 Toronto Hydro customers. The outage started shortly after 7:30 last night and was restored around a quarter after 10. President Mohamed Lachmi says it is too soon to say how new limits on the number of international students allowed into Canada will affect Toronto Metropolitan University. Lachmi says more information is required to determine how the cap on study permits announced last week by the federal government will affect TMU's international students' admissions this coming fall. The new measures mean study permits for students coming to Canada in 2024 will be reduced by 35%, dropping from more than 500,000 to 364,000 nationally. Post-secondary institutions in the province will also be required to guarantee that housing options are available for all international students.
In other school news, Hillel TAU is hosting its first ever networking Shabbat dinner for Jewish students and staff this evening. Here's Rochelle Ravindran with more.
The posters still looked fresh at noon on Monday on a pillar outside the Rogers Communication Center on TMU's campus. "Bring him home now," they read, showing faces of Israelis kidnapped by Hamas during the October 7th attacks. Over top, another sticker. "Genocide in the name of all Jews is anti-Semitism," it read. Within 2 hours, some hostage posters had been torn. Stickers reading "Boycott Israeli Apartheid" covered their faces. Meanwhile, a few minutes away on Yonge Street, Jewish students gather to speak with Rabbi Aaron Greenberg. He visits the Hillel TMU loft space every week. The chapter is a branch of Hillel International, a Jewish campus organization located in over 850 campuses worldwide. "The loft provides a safe space for Jewish students on campus," said Noam Kahemka, president of Hillel TMU and fourth-year business student.
"Sometimes like our students will just like walk through a protest or see like posters on the wall, like saying all these things, and they just like, they're so thankful that the loft or space on campus is just like a few minutes away, that they can come there and just like relax, feel safe, and just like be with their friends again and people that like they can confide in."
This Friday, Hillel TMU is hosting a Shabbat networking dinner for Jewish students and staff at the university. Shabbat is the traditional day of rest in Judaism, observed from Friday evening to Saturday night. Co-hosted by the JECN, the Jewish Employees Community Network at TMU, this will be the chapter's first Shabbat dinner specifically aimed at connecting students and faculty. Hillel TMU and the JECN have seen a skyrocketing in participation since October 7th and the onset of the Israel-Gaza war, said Malka Daniels, engagement coordinator at Hillel TMU. In November, Hillel TMU released a statement responding to rising reports of anti-Semitism in Toronto and on campus. Jewish students and staff have both felt ostracized at TMU, Daniels said.
Personally, I was getting messages from my Jewish professors just checking in on me. Even though I had a professor last year, she reached out to me because she knew I was Jewish, and simply for that reason.
The location of tonight's Shabbat dinner is only available to those who RSVP as part of new security measures adopted by Hillel TMU after October 7th. Ultimately, Kahimka said that the Shabbat dinner is a way to create a more interconnected Jewish campus community. Creating spaces for Jewish students and staff to come together through events and at the loft itself is imperative, she said.
I think a lot of our students are visibly Jewish and they feel very scared to be on campus. So it's having like that safe haven that they could go to and be like, okay, now I'm with my people. Now I feel safe. I can talk about what I just saw on campus, what just happened to me. And it's very important.
For On the Record News, this is Rochelle Ravindran.
Now let's take a look at this week in sports with our very own Aisha Ashraf.
Thanks, Dana. Here is today's rundown from the world of sports. Four NHL players, Carter Hart of the Philadelphia Flyers, Michael McLeod and Cal Foote of the New Jersey Devils, and Dylan Dube of the Calgary Flames, have been charged with sexual assault in connection with an alleged incident involving members of Canada's 2018 World Junior team. Attorneys for the players asserted their innocence, stating that each player denies any wrongdoing and will defend themselves in court. The investigation by London police began in 2022 after Hockey Canada settled a lawsuit with a woman who alleged she was sexually assaulted by eight members of the team at a gala. The NHL initiated its own investigation in 2022 and has committed to releasing its findings publicly. All four players have taken leave from their clubs and their agents have not made any public statements on the matter. But that's not all the scandal on the ice. 17-year-old Russian figure skater Kamila Valieva has been found guilty of a violation of anti-doping rules by the Court for Arbitration of Sport 2 years after the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. She is now suspended from international competition until December 2025. The ruling disqualifies Valieva's performances from December 2021 onwards, including her participation in Beijing, and prompted discussions on medal awards for the team skating competition. Amidst international scrutiny, the decision amplifies calls for greater accountability in combating doping in sports, particularly concerning minors. Valieva's disqualification will result in the redistribution of medals, elevating the United States to gold. Canada will unfortunately remain in fourth place without being promoted to bronze, leaving the team extremely disappointed. Skate Canada says it will consider all options to appeal the decision. And that's all for sports. Thanks for joining me. I'm Aisha Usher for On the Record. Back to you in the studio. Thinking about going out this weekend and don't know how to dress? Let's take a look at our weekly forecast with Apoorva Butt.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to On the Record Weather. Let's take a look at today's temperature highs. Toronto, Guelph, Hamilton, and St. Catharines will be having a high of 3 degrees. Mississauga, Brampton, and Kitchener will have highs of 2 degrees. There seems to be a bit of a pattern of cloudiness throughout the GTA, but we're finally going to be seeing some sunlight. Now, let's have a look at the 5-day forecast. Let's start with Saturday. It's going to be a full day of sunshine with a high of 4 degrees and a low of minus 2. Sunday looks the same with a high of 4 degrees and a low of minus 2. We will be partially experiencing a sunny Monday with a high of 3 degrees and a low of minus 3. Let's move on here and have a look at Tuesday. We're going to be seeing a high of 3 degrees and a low of minus 1. It's going to be a bit cloudy and a little less sunny, but not too bad for the month of February. If we move on to Wednesday, it's going to pick up with a high of 6 degrees and a low of minus 1 degrees. you can expect clear skies in the evenings, no rainfall, and I would recommend leaving the raincoat at home, but definitely carrying the umbrella because you never know with Toronto. And that is your weather update. I am Apoorva Patt for On The Record. Back to you, Dana and Aisha.
From AI-generated celebrity images to Gypsy Rose's new look, it's been quite the week in the world of entertainment. With more, here's Monty Quintana.
Singer-songwriter Taylor Swift has fallen into a predicament with the new AI technology. Nude photos were shared on X and the post went viral. Fans shows their rage through sharing regular pictures of the singer to get on top of the search list. With more than 250,000 likes, the platform received multiple claims that made the post get taken down. Swift is considering taking legal action towards the post, but she has yet to speak about the topic. In another news, ex-convict Gypsy Rose Blanchard has now been released from jail and she has started her social presence. The real-life character Gypsy Rose, interpreted by actress Joey King in The Act, has gained several followers after her murder case was explained in several shows and documentaries. With now 9.9 million followers on TikTok and 8.3 million on Instagram, true crime fans have made her into a superstar and a hero. In recent posts, Blanchard has shown a new look to show her public her real self. Princess of Wales Kate Middleton has been released from the hospital after spending almost 3 weeks in London Hospital, where the royal had been recovering from her abdominal surgery. According to the Kensington Palace statements, the princess is making good progress and is expected to rest at the Windsor Palace, where she lives with her husband and children. The princess will not be returning to her royal duties until after Easter. The whole royal family thanks the hospital and especially the nurses for their great care and concern. This is Montserrat Quintana.
That's all for On the Record this February 2nd, 2024. I'm Dana Masamra.
And I'm Aisha Ashraf. Join us for On the Record next week as we round out the latest stories from the OTR newsroom.
For the latest 24/7, visit our website, ontherecordnews.ca, and have a great day.